The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Gene, do you ever expect your employees to work nights or weekends?
Do I expect it? The nature of the work that we do is we're servicing clients mostly during the days. I hate it when my employees work nights and weekends. It is, and sometimes clients ask to do stuff. Like, say you're converting over a system and people like to do it over the weekend.
Yeah, makes sense.
I hate that. I always leave it up to the decision of my people.
Yeah.
And then I charge for it. So for example, some client says to me, we want to go live with the system and we want to convert over the weekend. I go to the employees that are working on the job and I say, do you want to work over the weekend? And if you do, let's agree on how much more I'm going to pay you. Right.
Do you pay your employees hourly?
Yeah, they get hourly. Oh, okay. And then two of them are salary.
Oh,
so
okay.
And then what happens is that when they do that work, we agree on like a bump that they'll get.
Okay.
And then I turn right around and tell the clients, no problem working
this
on the weekend.
Even for the salaried people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, even for salaried people.
So it's
people.
Like it's almost like a bonus.
It's like a bonus for working on the weekend. And then what I do, though, is I turn back to the client and say, fine, if you want us to do it on the weekend, but you know, instead of our hourly rate being, you know, $150 an hour, it's going to be $400 an hour or $250 an hour, whatever it is. And then I always go back and leave it to the choice of the client. Do you want to do it? Otherwise, you know, it's regular rates if we do it during the week.
You always hear about employees of companies who are expected to work, just be on call all the time.
Yeah.
But they're salaried, so they're not getting paid for that.
And there's issues with that. I mean, there's regulatory
issues.
Yeah, back in December, the Department of Labor, had a ruling that was going to go into effect for overtime rules. Which was trying to avoid people that were making up to a certain amount of money, salaried people, they can get overtime for, you know, whenever they have to do work outside of those normal work hours. That ruling, by the way, right now has kind of stayed in the courts.
Mm-hmm.
But for most people, if you're a salaried worker, a lot of people do have that sort of expectation. I guess it just depends on the work.
Yeah.
And also the culture of your company. The culture of my company is we like our weekends, you know, so I really, you know, having said that, though, it is not uncommon for me to be exchanging emails with people in my company over the weekend. It's not, you know, and usually it's them like emailing me or, you know what I mean? Like,
what do you do? So let's say you sit there at 11 p.m. on Saturday night and you're like, oh, my God, I forgot to tell someone something, and you email them. Do you expect them to email you back?
No, I don't. I like to just get it out there, and I'm like, I would expect to hear back from them on Monday.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to be doing that at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night, and by the way, I'm such a social loser that's probably this is not an unrealistic story. If I'm going to email them like, oh, hey, you know, I forgot, you know, you need to make sure that we do whatever. I don't expect to get an answer from them until Monday. And I usually don't. Yeah, I usually don't.
Okay.
Yeah. It's because they know. I mean, it happens pretty infrequently.
I think small business owners, though, should set that expectation with people. Like, I might just think of something in the middle of the night and email it to you because I don't want to forget, but I don't want you to drop what you're doing and feel like that expectation of writing back to you right away.
Yeah, I agree. I think I definitely think that you should have that expectation with your, you know, the people that are working for you. And I think that you, and every company has their different culture and different people in 2017. Listen, people like to work in much different ways.
Yeah.
And, it used to be a thing. Do you remember years ago when people really started embracing emails and you were getting emails from people at 9 o'clock at night, that was like, oh my God, this person or whatever. And nowadays, like, none of that stuff's that uncommon because people travel, people all different time zones. They're working whatever. So I'm not bothered, you know, when people work on the, it's up to them.
Yeah.
It's up to them. But I do, you know, like to make it, you know, sort of clear to everybody that for all of us, weekends are time off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't expect you to be doing anything on the weekends unless you say you will.
What if someone has to come in and do one of those jobs on the weekends?
Mm-hmm.
Or not coming, because I know you're a remote.
They go to clients.
So let's say like they have to go to a client on a weekend to do something.
Right.
Then do you ease up on the 9 to 5? Like you have to be working 9 to 5 during the week?
No. I mean, that's usually because if they're going to come in and do something over the weekend,
they're getting paid.
They're getting paid a premium to do that.
But if they were just a salaried employee and they were working on the weekend for a special project, they weren't getting paid extra. Would you think like, oh, they can leave a little early?
We don't have those hours. Man, you work for the Hartford, don't you? Right. I mean, like, you know,
no, this isn't really about.
I'm saying in big companies. companies, you know, there's like this, you have to be at your desk and all that. So first of all, remember, we're a virtual company. So everybody works. So I don't even know where everybody is and what they're up to.
Yeah.
They make their hours, and as long as they're getting their work done.
I'm asking you about this because this is something we see a lot with small business owners who are trying to decide, should I go remote? And then how do I manage people's work hours? I think you've actually worked it out really well with, if you are working on a weekend or night or after hours, you're paying those people for that.
Correct. And then I also think people get so obsessed with managing, you know, people's work hours. And maybe I'm just naive about it, but, we're all adults here. So even when people are working remotely or working from home, as long as they have what their job responsibilities are, you want to be doing your work at 3 a.m, that's fine. Now, if one of your responsibilities is to be available on the phone for clients between 9 and 5, then that's what your responsibility is.
Yeah.
So it depends on the job. But I wouldn't, it never comes up. Never gets raised.
Okay. Well, get ready for our question because it's about work hours.
Okay. I can't wait. This podcast is brought to you by The Hartford. When the unexpected strikes, The Hartford strikes back for over 1 million small business customers with property, liability, and workers' compensation insurance. Check out The Hartford Small Business Insurance at thehartford.com.
Okay, our question today is from Andre, who lives in Cooperstown, New York. That's another beautiful area.
Oh, I've been to Cooperstown a lot.
Yeah,
we used to go
big
to Cooperstown.
Baseball fan.
Not only baseball, but my sons for a number of years. There's an amazing summer baseball tournament that goes on in Cooperstown called like the Field of Dreams tournament, and it happens, and it's travel teams from all over the country. Little, 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
And we did that for like 3 or 4 years in a row. My kids played there.
Fun.
We would go to Cooperstown. It's so awesome out there. It's really, really nice.
It's a beautiful
area.
Yeah,
I love it there.
So Andre has a great setup then because he's a virtual assistant. So he gets to live in Cooperstown
and
enjoy all of that. But it sounds like he's at the beck and call of all of his clients. So here's what he writes. I'm a virtual assistant. I love my job, but some of my clients expect me to be available all day. I admit some of this is my fault. How do I turn things around and set up healthy work boundaries? So if you're starting out...
go ahead.
So if you're starting out, then you just outline, like, these are the hours I'm available, and if you need me to do something outside these hours, like... maybe I'll charge you more, whatever.
Yeah.
Like
you set that out in writing. It should be, he's not an employee of anybody. Andre
no,
is,
he's a contractor.
This is business.
Yeah.
So he's got a contract. And if I hire him, he says in his contract, well, Gene, I'm not available between these hours and these hours. And then I have the option of saying, oh, well, that's not acceptable for me. So I guess I'm not going to hire you.
Or saying, if you need me to do something, it's going to be $300 or whatever.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I'm going to guess, because I always like to make assumptions about the people writing in, because I want to grill you a little bit. So let's say Andre quit his job and was like, I want to start this business, really needed clients in the beginning, as all small businesses do, and was willing to just do whatever to get clients.
Sure.
Now he's established, he's making money, and he's like, I don't want to be available on Sunday nights at 9 p.m.
Right.
So he's already, he already has this.
Can't roll it back.
You can't
roll it back. If you are already, we have some clients that we are charging at like hourly rates that we charged 5, 6, 7 years ago, and we've increased the rate since, but we haven't increased it on them because that's, and some people disagree with me, but like they're used to paying those hourly rates and it's still okay. And so we just charge it for the new clients. And Andre's, let's say this is Andre's situation. And he's like, if he has existing clients here and that's what he committed to doing and they're used to that, that's the relationship and that's why they hired him. He's got to keep doing it. It's like offering an employee benefit. You can't pull back employee benefits once you are. You can, but it's ugly. So he's really risking losing those clients. I mean, listen, it's a free country. I mean, he can go back to his clients and say, oh, I've decided, we're changing my contractor and my relationship with you, and I'm going to work. I can only work these hours or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's got to expect that some clients might find that, unacceptable.
So
to
then
do.
Starting with new clients, what he should do is draw up a contract saying, these are the hours I work, these are the tasks I'm, anything else is on a project basis. And what I would do if I were him is I would add in a lot of opportunities to upsell people.
Yeah.
And say, I'll book your plane tickets if you want me to also do an itinerary that's going to cost, this much money. But really lay out, like, these are the hours I work, these are the projects I can work on.
As long as it's in the contract, as long as there's no surprises, those are people don't want. So when they're going to hire him, they're going to have an expectation as to what they're going to get. And listen, Elizabeth, some industries have crazy stuff. If you are a lawyer, your expectation is that if your client calls you at 3 a.m. and you're working at a, you're got to respond, because that's what it's like being a lawyer. And if you work in retail, well, guess what? You're working through the Christmas holidays, like many hours of overtime, because the, and if you're working in media, you know, and some news story happens at 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning, you're expecting, you know,
while you're on vacation.
While you're on vacation. Right. So, you know, you're kind of choosing your industry. If Andre wants to be in the personal service business, that's what a virtual assistant is.
Yeah.
Well, okay. There's, you know, there's certain things that are expected in that business.
So let's think of a plan then to get him out of this situation. So he keeps his current clients.
Yes.
And
for any new clients,
he actively tries to get new clients, and then maybe he could subcontract out to someone else.
He could do that, although, again, depending on the nature of the work, clients might, they expect to be working with him because that's where they hired, right? There's that relationship. But maybe there are some stuff that he could subcontract out to others or have somebody assisting him.
Yeah, but you had that situation, like you were servicing all of your clients and then you brought in someone
other people
and said, okay, I'm going to have this person working with you now.
And that was a tough transition, but it got done.
Yeah.
You know, you lose clients.
You had to do it.
You had to do it. And so if he wants to grow the business, then that's something that he will consider doing as well. It's not easy to do, but you know, he can do that. So I guess it depends on what his long-term goals are. If he doesn't want to bring on new people, if he just wants to be a virtual assistant and just that's what he wants, if he's busy with existing clients, but he wants to take on new clients, it just has to be straight out with the new clients, like what he's available to do and not, what hours he's available and what, like you said, other stuff will be charged for.
Do you think, totally off topic, but just out of curiosity, do you think a virtual assistant is actually a good business idea going forward?
I think that...
is it going to be a growing industry?
I do. I think there's a lot of firms that are trying to formalize, or there's a few, you know, larger ones that are out there, but I think the virtual assistants are good. I think virtual assistants, if I was going to open up a virtual assistant business, what I would be doing is I would be going to big companies like the Hartford and saying, why don't you open up a contract for me, and then I will be the virtual assistant for your employees. Mm-hmm. So employees can take it. It's an employee benefit of the Hartford that there's this virtual assistant available with a list of things that the virtual assistant can do for you, Elizabeth, in certain times. And you'd be like, wow, this is a great benefit of working for the Hartford, is I get to call up Andre and have him, he'll make all my travel arrangements for me. Like that's... this is awesome. So I would be selling myself to big companies, not to just small individual people.
Yeah, and or like hedge funds.
Yeah.
That that's perfect.
I could definitely pay for that. But listen, different companies, it's a tight labor market. So companies are really looking for ways that they, you know, new innovative ways to provide benefits for their employees.
Yeah.
And some of them are car washes on site and, you know, catered meals and all that. So everything is time and saving time. And so I think a virtual assistant, that's what they do. So I don't know. I'd be going out to larger tech firms and saying, hire me for, you know, $50,000 a year, and I'll have a contract and I'll commit to X amount of hours that I will spend with your employees on this list of tasks, and benefits everybody.
All right. So, Andre, we've got some ideas for you there on solving your issue, which is going to be really difficult, but also how to expand your business. We will be right back with Gene's Word of Brilliance.
Are you looking for a great idea to start a new business? Well, Small Biz Ahead has 99 of them for you. Our new ebook, 99 New Small Business Ideas, is the first place you should look if you're interested in starting your business. You'll learn about everything from business service industries that could lead to lucrative freelance work, emerging industries such as solar panel installation and professional blogging, and even tech industries that could turn into the next big thing. Head on over to smallbizahead.com and click the link in the show notes to download your free copy today.
Gene, what's your word of brilliance?
Okay, I hope I pronounce this right. Sommelier? Like, you know what a wine... am I pronouncing it right? Sommelier? Yes. S-O-M-M-E-L-I-E-R, sommelier. That's my word of brilliance, is sommelier. Okay. And the reason why I bring that up is a very interesting story that I wrote about recently about a man named Bas de Groot.
Okay. Right?
He is a Dutch man, and he is, Elizabeth, a milk sommelier.
What?
He is an entrepreneur, and he goes around the country, around the world, and he tastes and evaluates milk. And as a milk sommelier, he believes, he grew up on milk, he is passionate, Elizabeth, about milk. And he believes that milk has different tastes, textures, the colors.
Like grass-fed, industrial farms.
Correct. Yeah. They said just like any winemaker, the wines come from the grapes, which comes from the soil and the plants. Well, the milk comes from the same thing. It's
the
just
grass
happens
that
to
the
be
cows
a, yeah, just the cow in the middle
on.
Of it, right?
Yeah.
And so he has fashioned out a business for himself being a milk, and he gets hired by like organic farms that want him to go and taste the different kinds of milk because they're producing this milk. They want to get a stamp of approval. They want to market different types of milk, you know, to right because everybody's trying to, you know, it's healthy and this has this texture, this has this benefits. He prefers fatty milks, believe it or not. You would think, you know, like health conscious.
Milk is really not that great for you. I'm pretty sure. Like, I think you're really supposed to only have it when you're like less than a year old.
I don't know. The guy drinks like 10 glasses a day. He's like a big fan of milk.
Remember, I'm not a scientist or a doctor, but
he has the whitest teeth, by the way, and he's huge. He's just like, grew like a stalk.
I don't know. I shouldn't say anything. Well, you know, I'll link to some stories on this.
We should. I can send you a link to it. And also, we should get him on the phone and interview him about what it's like to be a milk sommelier entrepreneur and what the prospects are.
Yeah.
It just goes to show just a couple of things. Number one is that you can always find something. If you specialize in something, you can always find a niche market for it. And there was a niche market for him doing this. And number two is, you know, this is could be another industry that goes, look, we have so many different types of chocolate, craft beers, grilled cheese sandwiches, wines.
Oh, I know someone who has a whole blog only about grilled cheese
about
sandwiches.
Grilled cheese sandwiches. So why not milk? So thinking of starting up a business.
Yeah.
Could be a specialty for you.
Interesting. Mm. The thought of drinking a glass of milk is so gross to me.
Yeah. Oh, he loves it. A couple of Oreos is delicious when it's icy cold.
Yeah, you'd have to have Oreos and like, cookies with it.
It's delicious. I love milk.
I don't know. I'm afraid I'm going to get like the dairy industry to come after.
Oh, I know. Well, milk has been ruined because it's a you know, now it's the no non-fat and 1%, and it's like drinking watery. Blech.
Yeah.
The full fat regular milk is yummy.
Like if I'm getting coffee, I put just a tiny bit of whole milk or like even half
in
it.
Yeah.
If someone comes at me with skim milk, it's like,
gross.
Why don't you just dump water
in
my coffee?
I agree. Oh, he hates it. Ugh. Boss de Groot hates it, would not recommend that. He likes the full-flavored, full-fat milk.
Fat-free milk? What is the point
What's
of
the
that?
Point of it? That's exactly right. Gross. Oh, you would hit it off with him.
Yeah.
We should definitely get him on this show.
Right.
You'll have a great conversation.
What's his name again?
Boss de Groot.
All right, let's get him on the phone. We'll talk to you in a couple days in our next episode.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Gene for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.